I was wondering about kidney stones. I was always taught that the best way to avoid kidney stones is drink lots of water and lemon juice. Would you agree with that? And secondly, you said that you don't agree with vitamin C supplementation. Has that have to do with ascorbic acid, or do you also say you shouldn't take vitamin C supplements if it's food-based, like with omelet powder? And then finally, would you say that transplants are the best hope for people with dialysis?
Yeah, so all those questions are great. I hope to keep them all in my head. So you're spot on about the water intake. So the three cardinal rules that I give to all patients with kidney disease is to drink more water. I myself had kidney stones in the past, and that's actually a product of not drinking enough water. Growing up in Florida, the Florida heat, I did not drink enough water. So the first rule I always say is drink plenty of water. You want to get one of those reusable water bottle containers, fill them up. Many places at work, airports, places have those refillable things you put underneath, and the, it senses and the water comes down. You want to drink 2 to 3 liters per day. Some people who have chronic kidney condition, chronic conditions that like heart failure or liver failure, and even some advanced situations with kidney failure, have to balance that with restricting too much water, because that can put them into a different problem. The second thing I tell patients is to avoid eating salt. Salt increases the risk of kidney stones. The way to think of it is that salt in the body, the what salt you take in is the salt you pee out. The salt you pee out comes increases the calcium you pee out, which increases the risk of forming a calcium-based kidney stone. That's number two. So drink more water, cut out back the salt. Third is to cut back on animal protein, which we talked about extensively. Your question regarding the vitamin C is a good one. Vitamin C has been all the rage ever since the pandemic started. Many well-intentioned folks take vitamin C to improve their immune systems. They take super therapeutic doses. However, that can vitamin C gets turned into oxalate, increases the risk of oxalate-based kidney stones, which is why I don't recommend to get vitamin C, especially vitamin C in a supplement form. You're better off getting vitamin C by eating a fruit. If you're someone that doesn't have impaired kidney function, you could do fruit juice. That can cause problems with the glycemic index. It can increase blood sugar levels, can also increase potassium levels if you have kidney issues. But so preferably to eat a fruit. You can get vitamin C, you can get natural alkali that way. The recommendation to drink water with a little bit of lemon juice is basically to make water alkaline. This is a complex nuance with dietary management of kidney stones, is that even though lemon juice is acidic, there is a compound in there called citrate or citric acid that, when absorbed by the body, turns actually into a base. So this is like kind of the trick with lemon juice and lime juice. You could use either or any citrus juice for that matter with water, or you could just eat the citrus. But the trick with that is that it gets turned into a base by the body as the body metabolizes it. And bases and alkali are beneficial not only in kidney disease, but also for a treatment of kidney stones. And then finally, your last question about transplants is that yes, transplants are the way to go. They extend the quality and duration of life substantially. And if you're lucky enough to get a live donor kidney transplant, meaning a kidney that someone donated to you, that's the best possible way to go.
Thanks very much, doctor, and for all of that. And let me now go to, sorry about that. Let's go to Stephen. And hi, Stephen, welcome.
Thank you. I want to thank you, Ben, for being a very good moderator. I want to thank the doctor for an excellent presentation. And I just want to let him know that, my creatinine was rising over the years. And about 10 years ago, I shifted to a whole foods plant-based diet, and it's come down a little bit. And so I don't do any of the processed junk. It's like beans and greens and oatmeal, and I've been stable. I'm at like one point, I was at 1.3. I'm at like 1.1, 1.15. It's not getting any better. but it's not getting any worse. And my plant protein is probably around 60 to 70 grams a day. A lot of it is from cooked beans. I'm just looking for your comments. No, I don't do any animal products whatsoever.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that your kidney function has not progressed, that you've been able to adopt a plant-based diet. Certainly, you should see a doctor or a dietitian just to make sure that what you're doing in the details are appropriate and you're not missing anything. But that's really great to hear. That's many of the patients I see have kidney disease, plant-based diet, and a lot of the time we spend is just going through those details. So from what I hear, it sounds good, but important to have someone who's familiar with the subject kind of go through all the details with you, make sure you're not missing anything.
Thanks, Dr. Joshi. And up next, we have Kathy. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My question is, you know, when you're a kid, you can eat anything. And as you get older, you often hear people say, oh, I can't eat that anymore because I get fluid in my ankles. So my question is that fluid in your ankles a function of the kidney no longer working the way it's supposed to? Or what happens that causes that?
Yeah, a lot of people have that problem. That could be a problem of the veins. The veins not just being strong enough or having enough elasticity to keep the blood towards the top of the body. So a lot of folks, as they get older, they lose some quality of their veins, and this contributes to some swelling in their lower extremities, usually the area that's most dependent or at the bottom of their body. This can be made worse by some medications. So like some of the calcium channel blocker class of medications that is commonly used to treat high blood pressure has the side effect of causing leg swelling. So I've seen that before. The other big thing, of course, is sodium, is salt. Eating too much salt. Almost every time I mention this to a patient, they say, hey, we don't eat salt. And then that may be true that they don't add salt to their foods. I think many people know the harms of adding salt, you know, with the salt shaker. But what they may not realize is that a lot of the salt is already added by the preparer of the food, be it in a factory, if it's processed food, or in a restaurant, or if someone else is making it, that salt is already added. So for example, bread often has a substantial sodium load, and many people don't realize that. And if you look at the diet, bread is one of the top three sources of sodium. Cheeses are another big source of sodium. And then, you know, food that's just eaten out, the sodium is added a lot of times to make food tasty because we're calorie conscious, we're fat conscious. So a way restaurants get around it is by adding sodium. And certainly if you have kidney problems, if you have liver problems, if you have heart problems, your body is in a state where it wants to hold on to the sodium, or it's not able to excrete the sodium that you're taking in. So this can lead to a state of sodium accumulation where you just are holding on to all the sodium, and that can lead to swelling in the legs. So there's a variety of reasons. Some people use compression stocking. Some people elevate their legs. Some people are on water pills. The exact reason can vary. So always best to talk to a doctor about it or have it looked into professionally.